Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon to all of my precious and beloved brothers and sisters. I welcome you to another broadcast of Reformation News. To all of my brothers in Canada and Norway and Germany and England and the U.S., I salute you in the precious, precious, precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And yes, my brothers and sisters, that is the guarantee we have from God Himself, that He will take care of you, and He will take care of me, and He will take care of us, because we are His elect people, chosen in Christ before the foundations of the world. And if God has chosen us and has made all of these preparations in advance so that we might be His people, how could God drop the ball? And the question is, He cannot drop the ball. He will not drop the ball because God is God. And He will take care of you. He will take care of me. He will take care of us all at the same time. Because He is our Heavenly Father. He is our Heavenly Father. And you know what's interesting? That our Father is being so badly misrepresented in the church world. You know, the preachers on TV and the preachers on radio, a great many of them, will talk to you about a Heavenly Father who won't do anything for you unless you activate him by sowing a seed. Oh, my brothers and sisters, what a scam that is. It is a very, very lucrative scam. It is a global scam. It's an enriching scam. But for all those who run it, for all those who are operating that Ponzi scheme, there's a special place reserved for them in the lake of fire. No, my brothers and sisters, we take comfort in what the hymn writer wrote. And the hymn is based on scripture. Yes, God will take care of you. He will take care of me. He will take care of us. He will take care of his family. In fact, God even takes care of the wicked, because the Bible says that God causes it to rain for the just and the unjust. God even blesses them with sunlight and rain and health and tranquility. God blesses all of humanity, those who are his blood-bought, spirit-sealed children. And if you're one of the Lord's, if you belong to the Lord, if you've given your heart to Jesus, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, my brother and sister, you have nothing to fear, for God will take care of you. And he doesn't require any giving. God doesn't require a tithe. God does not require a seed. God doesn't require anything other than that you love the Lord. Other than that you love the Lord. And if you love the Lord, and if you're following the Lord, and if you're living a home, if you're living a holy life, if you are being led by the Spirit, then you are a child of God. And he promises to take care of us. And I can tell you that God is faithful. And you probably know that yourself. You've experienced the providential care of God and how he has come through over and over and over again on your behalf. Now, men in the church will disappoint us. Men in the church will lie to us and tell us, well, if you sow, you'll get a breakthrough. If you sow, you'll get healed. If you sow, you'll get a wealth transfer. And many have sown to their disappointment. No healing has come. No wealth transfer has come. No breakthrough has come. No promotion has come on the job. Nothing has come. Other than what? Other than empty bank accounts. So, stop giving to these charlatans. And start reading more of the Word. And start believing what Jesus said. Jesus said, ask, and you shall receive. Seek the Father, and you shall find him. Knock on the Father's door, and it shall be open unto you, unto me, and to all who love the Lord. Well, my brothers and sisters, as you know, we're about to resurrect our daily Manna from Heaven radio broadcast. It's almost been a year. It's almost been a year that I have not done that radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. Well, you know, I've been crying before the Lord. My heart has been aching before the Lord, and I've been telling the Lord, Lord, I want to feed your people. Lord, I want to go back to doing the daily manna broadcast. And I kid you not, I have started that broadcast 3 times, and on 3 separate occasions I had to stop because the funds weren't just there. And it broke my heart to stop it because we were feeding God's precious people. Well, I'm back at it again. I'm gonna resurrect that broadcast. It needs to be resurrected. We need to be back on the air teaching 2 hours a day of the Word of God. And you know, 2 hours a day, 2 hours a day comes out to 120 minutes, 120 minutes. And this is going to be the breakdown. This is how we're going to break it down every day. I'm going to do 40 minutes of daily manna. In other words, I'm going to prepare a series for you in which I'll come to you every day for 40 minutes. In the first 40 minutes of the broadcast, I'm going to teach you a portion of the Word of God that will feed you. Feed you. Because you need to be fed. All sheep, all lambs, all mature saints, all new converts need to be fed. So I'm going to do a 40-minute teaching called Daily Manna, 40 minutes. And with that broadcast, with that segment of the broadcast, with the first 40 minutes, I want to teach you a series on the Word of God. In the second 40-minute segment, when we transition from the first 40-minute section into the second, I want to do 40 minutes of prayer. I want to teach you about prayer. I want to open up the Word of God, and there are different portions throughout the Scripture that deal with prayer, and I want to go over those portions with you. I want to show you how prayer to life. So in the second hour, we're going to do a segment every day of 40 minutes on prayer. We're going to teach on prayer. We're going to talk on prayer. I have some old books on prayer where people have written their testimonials. I want to read some of those testimonies in the prayer segment. So the first 40 minutes, I want to feed you. And in the second 40 minutes, I want to teach you about prayer. I want to see if you can revive your prayer life. If you're weak, is because you're not praying. If you're weak, is because you're not eating. So the first 40 minutes, I want to feed you. The second 40 minutes, I want to teach you about prayer. I want to inspire you to go into your prayer closet and get close to God and talk to God and lay out all your burdens before the Lord. And then the last 40-minute segment, I'm going to teach on leadership. Because I'm hoping that a great many of you who are staying home will feel the call of God to start a church in your home. So I'm going to teach on leadership, what a leader looks like, what a leader sounds like, the leader and his prayer life, the leader and the Word of God, the leader and the community, the leader on the job, the leader in the pulpit. So I want to teach on leadership in hopes that from among you who are listening, God will call some of you and stir within your hearts. Because a great many of you who are listening to me today in Canada, in Norway, in Germany, in England, and even in the U.S., a great many of you have stopped going to church. Well, you know what the Bible says, we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But you had to. Why? Because your church became apostate. Well, I'm praying, I'm believing, I'm trusting, I'm hoping that God would raise up some of you who are listening to my voice and who will hear these Bible studies every day, and that God, you would feel his tug. You would feel his call. You would hear his voice saying, who shall I send and who shall go for us? And that you on the other side will say, here am I, Lord. Use me. Send me. So that's how we're going to break it down. Now, if you want to be part of this radio ministry and you want to receive the outlines, because those of you who have been listening to me since 2014 know that when Dandy Manna from Heaven was on the air every day, I would send you a weekly attachment through an email. And when you got that email and you opened it up, when you opened up the attachment, you knew that there were 7 lessons there for the whole week. And this way you could follow me as I was doing the teaching. So we want to go back to that. So if you want to receive the outlines, if you want to receive the outlines for every day so that you can get your word, you can get your daily manna, so that you can get your lesson on prayer, and so that you can get your lesson on leadership, then email me at manna4today14@gmail.com. The word manna, the number 4, the word today, the number 14, at gmail.com. And we're starting Daily Manna from Heaven, the 2-hour broadcast. We're resurrecting it on March the 1st. March the 1st. So you don't want to miss that. Well, today we're going to be talking about this new book, Nehushtan Bishops. Nehushtan Bishops. And saints, it's a book you ought to read. It is a book that has 16 chapters. 16 chapters. 266 pages. 329 footnotes. And I want to encourage you to go to our website, go to paganbishops.com, order your copy if you haven't already. Order your electronic or your PDF copy. It is a copy that you will be able to read on your tablet. That's the only way you can get the book. You got to get it through a PDF. A PDF is simply you get an email and you open it up and there's the book. The book is there in its entirety. And you can read it on your tablet. You can read it on your phone. And I want to encourage you. Why? Well, because we need to arm you with truth. We need to empower you. We need to show you that there's light and that there's darkness, that there's Satan and there is Christ, that there is a legitimate church, a real church, and an apostate church. And this book, Nehushtan Church Bishops, underscores and highlights the fact that many of our leaders in the church today are human idols, which church members are now worshiping. Instead of worshiping the Lord, instead of coming to church to lift holy hands and lift holy voices in honor and praise of Jesus, people are walking into churches, they're coming into churches in order to worship their church leader / pastor / bishop. And when you worship a man, that man has become your Nehushtan, your human, and that is something we need to discourage you from doing. You should not be worshiping any human. Now, the reason why Satan has used the Roman Catholic Church to infiltrate our local churches and give our pastors, who are just their humble servants, but Satan uses the Roman Catholic Church, he infiltrates our churches, and then he tells our pastors, you should really be a bishop. You should really be a bishop. And our pastors buy into the lie. They join a Roman Catholic satellite affiliate, known as the Joint College of African American Bishops, in my opinion. And they get a makeover, and they're turned into Nehushtans. And why is the Roman Catholic Church doing this? Why is the Roman Catholic Church putting men in every church to take the place of Christ? Well, because, as you know, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, warned us that in the future an Antichrist would come, a man would come who would sit in God's temple and who would claim to be God. So these little bishops that we have in the church now playing God, they're just a forerunner. Satan is using these puppets, these pulpit puppets, I call them. Satan is using them to condition people to already begin to worship men, so that when the Antichrist comes, it's going to be very easy for them to transition from worshiping their pastor to worshiping the false Christ, who Jesus told us would come and his apostles told us would come. Now, what is a Nehushtan? A Nehushtan is a human idol that we kiss. A Nehushtan is a human idol that we wind up kissing. Now, I'd like to take you to the book of 1 Kings. Turn with me, saints, turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, and we want to read Kings 19, beginning at verse number 1. 1 Kings 19, and we want to start reading at verse number 1, and then we want to go all the way down. We're going to do quite a bit of reading today, so we want to go to 1 Kings 19. We want to start at verse 1, and then we want to end at verse number 18. So we're going to be covering 18 verses in this 19th chapter of 1 Kings. And it's important because it shows how depressed the prophet Elijah was. He was battling, like we're doing today. He was battling false prophets. He was battling false teachers. He was battling the powers that be in the church, like we're battling the powers that be in the church with these two books, Jackass Church Bishops and the Nehushtan Church Bishops. We are doing what Elijah was doing way back then. That's what we're doing today. And it's very discouraging when we don't see things turning for the better as fast as we would like them to turn. We want things done quickly, but this is a long-term struggle. We are battling over the hearts and minds of people who are enslaved to their bishops, to their local churches, and we're trying to bring them out. You know, and in Moses' day, God has to use 10 plagues. God had to hit the Egyptians hard 10 times before Pharaoh actually let the people go. So this is not going to be a short battle. No. This is going to be a prolonged, dragged out battle. Because we're dealing with the hearts and minds of people. We're fighting over their souls. We're fighting over their eternal destiny. And the very people that we want to help many times don't want our help. The very people we're trying to save and bring them out of that wicked church system are the very people who spit at us, tell us don't touch the Lord's anointed. And we're trying to rescue them. We're trying to improve their lives. And yet, if they could, they would stone us. So it gets discouraging. But as you will see, God tells the prophet Elijah in the last verse in this section, which is verse 18, he says, Elijah, don't lose heart. I have 7,000. I have a remnant that will not kiss Baal. And I want you to focus on that 18th verse. So let's begin reading 1 Kings 19, starting at verse 1, and we want to read all the way through verse 18.
And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baken on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave, and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him.
You see, the verse says that God has reserved. God has put aside. God has set aside 7,000 in Israel who have not done what? Bend their knees. They have not bowed before the image of the false god, nor have they walked up to the image and kissed it. There are two things here. God has reserved unto him a people who refuse to bow and refuse to kiss the image. They refuse to bow before the image. They refuse to give homage to the image, to the idol, to the statue of Baal by bowing before it. Not only will they not bow before it, not only will they not bend the knee, not only will they not genuflect, but also they refuse to put their lips on this metal idol. They refuse to do it. Those are the people that God has reserved for him, those who are not idolatrous, those who will not welcome and accept and embrace a Nehushtan in their life. Those are the people that God calls his own. Those are the people. Those are the 7,000. That's the remnant that God says are my people. The rest are not my people. And those who kiss, they are not my people. Those who refuse to bow and those who refuse to kiss, those and those alone are my people. That's what God says in his word. He says, and I have 7,000. I've put them aside for me. They're my peculiar people. They're my special people. They're mine. Now, I'd like you to consider another verse. And the verse is found in the book of the minor prophet, Hosea. Hosea is spelled H-O-S-E-A, Hosea, the minor prophet. And that whole book of Hosea, God inspired this prophet to speak out against his people, against Israel, because his people had gone a-worshipping after Baal. In those days, Baal was the god of the Canaanites and of the surrounding nations. And this Baal was fashioned, he was made into an image of a bull. This Baal had, he was part human. He had a human's body and a bull's head. And he was the god of fertility. He was the god of prosperity. And the people of God went a-whoring after this god Baal because they wanted to prosper. And back in those days, the economy was completely agricultural. So if you had a wonderful crop, if you had a bumper crop that year and you sold a lot of, you know, whatever it is that you planted, you lined your pockets. And if you had sheep, if you had livestock, if you had goats, if you had cattle, if you had camels, if you had horses, if you were raising mules and donkeys, whatever it was that you were raising, if your herd grew exponentially, then you prospered. You prospered. Because a man's wealth was based on the amount of livestock that he owned, the amount of grazing lands that he owned, and also the size of his farm. And so there were all kinds of people who were in that kind of a economy, who would do whatever it takes to cause a bumper crop and to cause their flocks to multiply. And so, according to the Canaanites, you want your bumper crops to grow and you want your herds to multiply, then you got to worship Baal, who's the god of fecundity. He's the god of multiplication. He'll multiply your acreage, he'll multiply your livestock, but you got to worship him. You got to sow seeds. I kid you not. I kid you not. And sowing seed back then was not sowing money. Sowing seed was going into Baal's temple, and actually, they had female temple prostitutes, and they had male temple prostitutes, and you went in there and you copulated with these priests. They were called priests and priestesses. And you went in there and you had sexual intercourse with them, and you left seed. That was one form of worshiping Baal. And this was a very popular religion because sex is popular. And people were going to worship Baal, and they were giving seed. And in addition to that, they would go before the image, and then they would kiss the image. So Hosea the prophet, Hosea the minor prophet, has much to say about this, so I'd like you to go to chapter 13 of the book of Hosea, chapter 13. Hosea is the first of the minor prophets. Hosea, chapter 13. And we're going to be reading verses 1 and 2. So let's read Hosea 13, verses 1 and 2. Let us begin.
Chapter 13. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of their silver, and idols according to their own understanding, all of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves.
Let the men who bring their sacrifice kiss the calves. And Baal was, and there were many kinds of Baals. In fact, you may even read in your Bible, Baalim, B-A-A-L-I-M. Anything in the Hebrew with an I-M ending is plural. There were many different forms of Baal. But these different Baal gods all requested the same thing. They had a human body with a bull's head. And a bull in the Bible is always spoken of that animal that fertilizes. That animal that produces additional livestock. The animal that produces after its own kind. And so Baal was seen as this mighty god with horns, the bull, who would ask you to worship him by sowing seed and then visiting his image, visiting his silver idol, and then drawing near and kissing it. That's why God said to Elijah, I have 7,000 who will not bow before the image of Baal and who will not kiss it. And so now I want to take you to Psalm 2. If you can turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 2, this is a messianic psalm, and we are encouraged by God to only kiss one. And that one that we are to only kiss is the Messiah. Who is the Messiah? The Lord Jesus Christ. If you kiss anyone else other than the Son, you're going to anger God the Father. Now, you can't kiss Jesus the way Judas did. Kiss. That's a Judas kiss. That's a kiss of betrayal. But those who love the Son, those who truly love the Son of God, must kiss the Son. And the word kiss is a form of worship. You worship the King. We are to worship only one in the church. And this is why when we go to church and there's a segment of the service that is called praise and worship, that word worship in the Greek is proskuneo, pros, P-R-O-S. Pros means to draw near. Kuneo means to kiss. Now think about this. We read in 1 Kings 19:18 that there were people who offended God because they drew near to the idol of Baal, they bowed before it, and they kissed it. Then we read in Hosea chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, that there were men in the land of Ephraim, in the land of Israel, who would draw near to the idol of Baal made by the craftsmen. These idols were made of silver, and these men would draw near and do what? And kiss the idol. So when we go to church on Sunday, if you're drawing near to blow kisses at your bishop, if you are adoring your bishop, if you are worshiping your bishop, you are an idolater, my brother and my sister. There's only one that we're to draw near and kiss. There's only one that we're to draw near and worship. Remember, dear saints, in the book of Acts chapter 10, when Peter entered into the house of Cornelius, the Roman pagan, Cornelian ran to Peter and he bowed before Peter and Peter says, don't you do that, get up. And Peter said, the reason why you don't do that is because I am a man just like you. You are not to worship me. I'm a preacher. But I am a man just like you. In the book of Acts, chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas were preaching in Derbe, and as they preached, God produced a healing. God healed the lame man. The people of the town of Derbe, they were trying to make Barnabas and Paul into gods. And Barnabas and Paul, the Bible says, they rent their garments and they told the pagans in Derbe, don't you do that. We are men just like you. Given an opportunity, church folk will turn any preacher into an idol. But it's the preacher's responsibility to tell the church members, get up, Do not bow before me. Do not worship me. Do not prosconeo me. Do not kiss me, because I'm a man just like you. When you come into this house, when you come into this fellowship, when you come into this sanctuary, when you come into this church, you are to worship. You are to prosconeo only one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us begin reading this messianic psalm, which is Psalm 2. And I want you to see that Psalm 2 tells us in verse number 12, the last verse, it says, kiss the Son, God be angry with you, lest ye perish in the way. Kiss only the Son. You're not to kiss Baal, and your Baal may be a Baal in any form. There are many Baals in the church today. The person that you turn to for your healing is your Baal. If you're turning to Benny Hinn for your healing, Benny Hinn has become your Baal. If you're turning to Rod Parsley for a breakthrough, Rod Parsley has become your Baal. If you're turning to Juanita Bynum for a prophetic word, Juanita Bynum has become your Baal. All that you need, all that you should ever desire, comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're to only worship him. You're to only bow before him and kiss him. You're only to prosconeo him. If you're doing it to any man, an idolater. So let's read Psalm chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, and it concludes with verse 12, and verse 12 is the key verse.
Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him.
It says in verse 11, serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he, God the Father, be angry, and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed, blessed, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. There are to be no Nehushtans in our life. There are to be no human idols in our life. But you say to me, dear brother, I don't know. I don't know of any church that has a Nehushtan. I don't know of any church. What you're talking about, I don't see that. Well, I have a little audio clip for you. And here is an audio clip of a service in which a church, an African-American church, in 2015, it was only a year and a half ago, but this happens every day, folks. It was only a year and a half ago that a church, a huge church, a mega church, was conducting an elevation service where they were taking one of these pastors who had bought into Satan's lie that being pastor isn't good enough. So Satan offered them, you a highfalutin bishop. I will make you a deified bishop. And so this person bought into it. And I want to play the audio because now this person right before our very eyes is being turned into a Nehushtan. The chief consecrating officer is about to put a ring on this person's finger. And I want you to listen to what the chief consecrator now tells the congregation. When he puts the ring on this bishop's finger, which is a pagan ring, I want you to listen closely because, my brothers and sisters, you would think after listening to this man that you were reading 1 Kings 19:18, where God says, I have reserved for me 7,000 who will not bow and will not kiss Baal. And here is this chief consecrating officer encouraging the multitude there at this elevation service to do contrary to what God requires. He is encouraging people to come before this newly elevated bishop and to bow before them and to kiss their finger. My brothers and sisters, this bishop, this consecrating officer with his co-consecrators took this human being and turned him into a Nehushtan. And I want to provide the audio because I want to show you that what happened in the days of Elijah and what happened in the days of Hosea is happening today. We have idols in the church, human idols, and we are kissing them instead of kissing the Son. And the psalmist said, kiss the Son only, lest the Father be angry with you. Let us listen to this audio clip.
A ring, a symbol of government and collegiality with her fellow bishops. She is one among all of us. This is her ring, symbol of authority.
Symbol of blasphemy.
And we respect her. Truthfully, you don't really grab a bishop and hug a bishop. You respect the bishop by saluting her ring. That's your way of saying, I honor you.
Now, what he just did was he bowed and he kissed the ring. That's exactly what God says not to do in 1 Kings 19:18. That's exactly what the prophet Hosea denounced in Hosea chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. What this man is encouraging is what God denounced and what the prophet Hosea denounced and what the psalmist denounced when he penned Psalm 2.
You don't just reach your hand out to shake hands with a bishop. You let a bishop extend his or her hand first.
Peace, Bishop.
Oh, I didn't know that. Just let him, hi, you, Bishop. Put your hand down. And just speak.
Amen.
And
do you hear these silly folks saying amen, amen? No, not amen. Blasphemy. Apostasy. Heresy. Blasphemy. Apostasy. Heresy. Not amen.
You don't really grab a bishop and hug a bishop. Put it on. Make you get it on. Okay. You respect the bishop by saluting her ring. That's your way of saying, I honor you. You don't just reach your hand out to shake hands with a bishop.
You let a bishop extend his or her hand first.
Peace, Bishop.
Ah. Oh, I didn't know that. Just let him, hi, you, Bishop. Put your hand down and just speak.
Amen, amen.
And, you know, gentlemen with class know when she extends her hand with that ring, we just simply salute her by kissing the ring. We ain't got to hug and squeeze and bang her into us. Don't do that. She's a bishop. She's a bishop.
No, she's a human. She's a human. Like Peter said to Cornelius, stand up. Don't bow before me. Don't kiss me. Like Peter and Barnabas told the people in Derbe, don't do that. I'm just a human, just like you. I'm just a man, just like you. I don't need to bow before you. I don't need to kiss your ring finger and your ring. I don't need to kiss those objects of idolatry. Absolutely not.
Bishop, that will, in a minute, you can come and salute her and go back to your seat. This.
And soon afterwards, there was like 50 bishops who got up in a line, and they all went before the new bishop and bowed and kissed the ring. Nehushtanism in the church today. Nehushtanism. Well, saints, I can't wait to revive the broadcast, Daily Manna from Heaven. We're going on the air March the 1st. I pray that you would join me as we resurrect this broadcast, as we teach God's people important truths. And like I said, the first 40 minutes, it's a 120-minute daily program. The first 40 minutes is going to be a powerful Bible study in which I'm going to feed you. The second 40 minutes, I'm going to do a Bible study on prayer because I want you to revive your prayer life. And the third and last segment, which is the 40 minutes, I'm going to be teaching on leadership because I'm hoping that God will call some of you to start house churches. Well, saints, I want to conclude with this hymn, The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power. I'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Reformation News. Love you in Jesus.